Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Isn't it good being church?
Yes.
Much better than being in the hospital or prison. And so praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I just welcome you and just so thrilled and honored to be here. And want to, first of all, thank Pastor Tim and Katie for allowing me to minister here this morning to such a wonderful group of people. And you know, your pastors need a time of rest and recreation and getaway. And it's very often whenever I get away from my ministerial duties that God will speak to me and give me clarity. And so we just trust that they'll come back refreshed. You're very blessed to have such wonderful, wonderful pastors. And so praise the Lord. And I'm also very thrilled to see all the newer people that, you know, I don't recognize offhand. How many know that's the kind of the test or the fruit of a good ministry is newer people coming in and coming to the Lord. And so we are living in very exciting times, and I'm just so thrilled to be part of it and with you and to see all your faces. And so why don't we just go ahead and jump right into the Word. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 5. And for those of you that are newer to church and this is the first time you heard me, please don't leave this church over something I say or do. I always give that clause, you know. Especially if this is your first time, I'm not the pastor, I'm a guest minister. I want to encourage you to come when the pastors are here. They will bless your socks off. And so we're just so thrilled that you're here today. You know, we started this church back, 2003, I think it was. And I took 20 people from our Fredonia church that came from Jamestown, and we started in the Holiday Inn. And after 1 year, half of those people left me just because no one was coming to church. And we found out some things. Sunday afternoon is the absolute worst time to start a church. You know, you know, Buffalo Bills are playing and so forth. But one thing, we obey God, and that's, you know, if you hear from heaven, you obey God. You know, the seed, once it's planted, you don't see the seed. It looks like nothing's happening. But when that seed makes contact with the ground, the DNA starts to work, and growth will eventually come forth. And now you look at it today, the growth came forth. So it's just honored and privileged to see all these things come to pass. For those of you that know my ministry, you know, my calling is to get people to get ready for the coming Lord. My calling is to get people to pray, to consecrate, dedicate, talk about spiritual things and so forth. But it's very interesting, along with all that contending for God's highest and best, especially in these last days, it seems of late that the Lord has had me minister on hard issues and making sure that we're good on the inside. You know, Jesus has a lot to say about your insides. He said of the Pharisees, you know, they honor me with their lips and their actions, but he said something very interesting. Even though they were doing the duties of Judaism and so forth, he said this, yet their heart was far from me. And so the most important thing to the Lord is your heart and the condition of your heart. It just seems like this, especially this past year, the Lord has had me deal with heart issues, things that will help us, you know, to be more like Jesus. I mean, we're saved, but we'd be more Christ-like. You know, many times when we're contending for faith, we're contending for the supernatural, we forget to be nice to people. We forget to be sweet to people. We forget how to live and so forth. So in my heart, I just have some things along those lines. And especially for those the newer, I guarantee this will help you and bless you. So in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, I'm just going to read one verse. And it says, as I'm reading on King James Bible, you may have a different translation, but it'll read pretty much the same thing. It says this, for in Jesus Christ, neither is circumcision anything or uncircumcision, but this is what we want to look at, but faith that worketh by love. And, you know, there's a lot of teaching and preaching on faith. I was brought up in what was called the Word of Faith movement. And thank God for it, the principles of faith, the formula of faith, that, hey, God wants to meet our needs. God wants to give us the desires of heart. And faith is the way we tap into His grace. Anything that God has provided for us in His Word, anything that God has given to us, we can access it by faith. I say it this way, faith is like the checkbook. You know, you can have a lot of money in the bank and it's yours, it belongs to you, but it'll do you no good unless you know how to access it. And so that's what the checkbook is for, or the debit card, that what is yours that is kept in store can be accessed through that check or through a debit card. And that's what faith does. Faith simply accesses every promise of God. The Bible says all the promises of God are yes and amen. And so faith is the means. When we learn to use faith, is how to access everything that God has for us. And it's a wonderful life, a wonderful life of faith. And Jesus said this when He comes, He's looking for faith in the earth. And do you study the ministry of Jesus? He was always looking for people to have faith. So faith is very, very important to God. It is very important to us because that's how we receive from God. And the Bible says it's the only way we can please God. But something very interesting in this verse that tells us that faith needs something. What could possibly faith need? It says that faith worketh by love, or we can say faith works by love. Or we can say it this way, faith needs love in order to work correctly. Now, you know, technology is growing, increasing. You know, when I was growing up, most cars needed gasoline. And now there's electric cars and so forth. So my illustrations usually date me. But, you know, in order for a car to work, you know, you have an engine, you have a wheel, you have a transmission, you have all these components of the car. And it's meant to take you places and go and to serve you and to help you. What a blessing. Aren't you grateful that we have vehicles? You know, you came here today. How many, you know, if we were back several hundred years ago, we'd have to get on our horse or walk by foot. And, you know, I'm about 30 miles away. You know, I would have had to start about 6 in the morning and get here on time. But thank God for a car. But it's wonderful. And precious as cars are, they need something in order to work. What do they need? They need fuel. And again, this applies for those of you that have electric cars. Electricity is the fuel to your electric car. But most of us have cars that run on fuel. And, you know, you can have the latest, greatest car with all the bells and whistles and every option imaginable in your car. And, you know, that car is meant to take you places, do things, and all the bells and whistles are meant to serve you. But if that car has no fuel, it's just not going to go anywhere, not going to run. And we have to understand this, that faith is the same way. You know, faith brings us a lot of wonderful, great, and gracious things. I mean, healing, health, prosperity, and wealth, the blessings, the breakthrough, everything we ever want or need. Faith is the conduit. Faith is the way we obtain all this grace. But faith needs something in our life. In order for our faith to operate correctly, it needs fuel. And that fuel is love. And, you know, maybe cars aren't your thing, but you can take any appliance in the kitchen, you know, your blender. You know, maybe you needed a smoothie this morning. You put your bananas, your ice, your cucumbers, whatever you put in your smoothie. And man, that was going to be your breakfast. And you have this real expensive blender and you press chop or smoothie or whatever, and nothing happens. And, you wonder why, and then you press the button again, and nothing happens. And you press it and press it, and then you start shaking yourself and pressing the button, and you're kind of frustrated. Yes. You know, why isn't the blender working? It's a very expensive blender. I've read all about what this blender will do, all the smoothies make me. I want to be more healthy and so forth. But that blender is wonderful. That blender is. It needs something. Yes. It needs fuel. It needs electricity. And so what we're going to look at is the importance of love, that love must be in place. And turn with me to Mark chapter 11. Faith is wonderful. Jesus taught us how to operate in faith and the principle of faith, but faith's formula needs proper fuel. And without the proper fuel of love, it won't work correctly. And while you're turning out, I'm going to tell off on my associate. I have a wonderful associate, Pastor Scott Wise, and many of you have known him, and he's a wonderful, honorable man. And he is holding down the fort as my wife preaches in our Fredonia church. And many of you have been to our church building. Our church building is on 19 Church Street, right across from the police station. I mean, you figure you'd have the safest place in Fredonia if your building's right next to the police station. And Pastor Scott had a truck at this time, and for some reason he had to leave his truck overnight in our parking lot, downtown Fredonia, not just in our parking lot, but he parked his car behind our church building, which is, here's the police station, and here's his truck, and here's our building. I mean, right in front of the police station. You figured that'd be the safest place to park a car. But also in Fredonia, we have a university. We have young kids, and young kids like to party and do fun things and crazy things and sometimes downright illegal things. And someone thought it would be fun and funny to take a bottle of Coke and put it in the gas tank. And they did that. Here's the police station. Here's our church, but here's the camera right on it. We have security camera. And someone takes a bottle of Coke. It wasn't Pepsi, it was Coke. And put it in there. And they just thought, oh, this is funny. This is funny. Well, the next day, Pastor Scott goes and takes his vehicle. And it starts right up because, there's already fuel in the system. But he starts to go and something isn't working right. The engine isn't working right. And it goes on for a day and two, and then it starts stalling out. And finally, it stalls out and it has to be towed. And he takes it to the shop having no idea because it was working fine. Everything worked fine. You know, turn the key, put it in drive. It worked fine. Took him wherever he needed to go, any place he desired. But something wasn't right. And so it had to be towed. And then the technicians looked at it and found out someone put Coke in the system. And it caused $3,000 of damage. It had to rebuild the engine, and it was out. It was out for I think 10 days without a vehicle. And why don't you use illustration? Well, faith needs the love fuel.
Yeah.
Just like a vehicle needs pure gasoline, pure diesel, pure electricity. You cannot add anything to a mix. Just a little foreign substance here. I don't know how much Coke it was. Just a little bit foreign substance in that gasoline caused that vehicle didn't work, it caused it to break down. And sometimes we need to look at our love walk, and our believing God and our faith walk and confessing, just a little ill will, a little resentment, a little gossip, a little talking about people. I'm not saying you're spreading, you're broadcasting, but just little things can get into your fuel tank, so to speak, your love tank, and it may cause your faith not to work as it should. And so we want our faith fully operational, and so here we see that faith works by love. Love has to be in place. And so in Mark 11, we know these verses, you're taught well, but we have newer people. And here Jesus tells us about the miracle-working power of faith in verse 22. And Jesus answered, said to them, what? Have faith in God. So it's talking about faith and having faith in God. And verse 23, for verily I say unto you, that word verily in the Greek is amen, it's a guarantee. So Jesus is saying, I guarantee you this will work. What will work? That whoever, it means anybody, shall say in this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. And notice this, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. So Jesus again is talking about faith. And you've been taught these things, for those of you newer, maybe it's the first time you heard this, but here Jesus is telling us what faith will do. Here, Jesus says that if you have a mountain, it's not talking about a literal mountain, but this mountain represents tests, troubles, trials, anything that stands between you and victory. Maybe it's a financial need, maybe it's a physical need, maybe it's a family need. That's a mountain. It's big. It looks unmovable. It looks impossible. But Jesus tells us if you'll use faith and speak to that thing, and tell it to be removed, Jesus says, I guarantee it will be removed. And so he tells us about the miracle working power of faith. And we're not going to take much time. You're taught well that you can use faith words against your trouble, against your opposition, against your mountain, and Jesus guarantees it, it will move. And see, God here tells us how to get things changed. That's how much God loves us. If there's something bothering, is there test and trial, and what do you do about it? Jesus said, speak to it. Yes. Speak to it in faith. And Jesus said, I guarantee if you'll speak to it, command it to straighten out, command it to be reversed, I'll back it up and I guarantee you, you'll have what you say. Yes. And then he also says in verse 24, therefore I say unto you whatsoever things you desire. Isn't that awesome? You have any desires? Jesus said, whatever you desire. Here God is telling you how to get the desires of your heart. That's how good God is. And here he tells us, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, notice again, believe means faith. Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Again, faith principles, we understand this. You can speak to mountains. You can pray and believe you receive your desires, your heart met. And these are formulas. This is how faith works. But Jesus didn't stop there. And this is what we need to see. Faith worketh by love. Now notice the very next verse, verse 25. And when you stand praying, what is that saying? When you're speaking the mountain, when you're standing of faith, you're going through a test of trial, you're speaking, you're believing. It's talking when you stand praying. Or if you're believing God for desires heart and you say, Father, I believe I receive. When you are exercising the faith, either by words or by prayer, when you stand praying, notice what you said, forgive. Yeah. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And so here, Jesus here is saying, faith works. Do this and the impossible will happen. But there's a little clause there. What is it? Faith works by love. Yes. And it says when you're standing, you're praying, you're believing, you want God to do something mighty for you, you got to make sure there is no unforgiveness in your life. Why is he telling that? A little unforgiveness will pollute your love fuel. It'll cause your love not to work. And so, with Pastor Scott's truck, just a little bit of coke did a lot of damage. A little bit of resentment, ill will, speaking poorly about others can keep your faith from working. And it's important in these areas. And honestly, maybe you don't understand faith. Maybe speaking to mountains and believing God for healing and so forth. Maybe you don't quite understand the principles of faith. I'll tell you this, if you'll work more on your love walk, your faith walk will be easy. The Bible says the faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. And really, if you will just be very conscious of being tender and kind towards people, being merciful towards people, keeping your heart pure, your faith will work. And you'll work in faith without being conscious of it. It'll just be a flow. Just like when you turn your car on, you're not sitting there, I hope it turns on. I hope it works this time. We get in, we operate without any consciousness. We ought to be more amazed when our when our car doesn't work, right? That's, you know, right, than when it does work. Same thing with our faith. More amazed when it doesn't work. And so if you will work more on your love walk, faith will be easy. I just, earlier this year, I was just sitting down ready to preach in our Sunday morning service. And I believe it was the Holy Ghost or the voice of my own spirit. And it says this, he said, did you notice in 39 years, it'll be 40 years next year of ministry, that you've never missed a preach engagement because you were sick? And I'm going, you know, through my mind, I'm sitting there. I know everyone's worshiped the Lord, but the Lord is talking to me. And I guess you're right. I've never missed preaching, and I preach all the time and so forth. And the reason for it is the love walk.
Okay, yes.
The reason for it is being merciful and being kind. Now, thank God that love is not a personality, because I'd be ruined. You know, I naturally have a choleric personality, black is black, white is white, and so forth. But how many know that love is not a personality? Yeah. It's an expression of your heart, an expression of your heart towards others. My spiritual father, Kenneth E. Hagin, maybe you've heard of him. Newer people may not have, but Kenneth E. Hagin, who spearheaded the faith movement, he was raised up from a deathbed with two incurable blood diseases, deformed heart, by faith. And he walked in faith and walked in divine health. And he would say this, I haven't had a headache in over 50 years. You know, some people have headaches every day, have ailments every day. But he understood the principles of God. He understood the promises of God. He understood faith and believe for what God has for him. But he said this, that he refused to have the least bit of animosity towards anyone. See, he understand for his faith to work, he had to make sure his heart was right towards other people. And he would say this, his words, not mine. He says, if someone spread a rumor that I killed my grandmother, I wouldn't even take the time to deny it. You know, some of us, that's a lie, you know. You know, he just refused. He said he refused the least bit of animosity.
Right.
And he understood this principle that we're talking about. What? Faith works by love. And if you were to ask family, you know, Kenneth Hagin, he died in 2003, actually shortly after we started this church. So we got this church done. He says, oh, now I can go home. And so he'd say this about the least bit of animosity in his heart. He kept it clean. And here he wouldn't have a headache. He wouldn't have things. He wouldn't challenge people. He just kept himself clean on the inside, his heart. And this is something just in my heart of late, is just to make sure there's not the least bit. And I like that, the least bit. Just that little bit of Coke messed up his engine. He probably had 20 gallons of good gasoline in it. Yeah. But that little bit of Coke polluted the whole system. And so we want to talk about faith that works by love. And to work on our love walk and be tender and kind. And turn with me. And this is my introduction. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. Not very deep, you know, but it's very important.
Yeah.
And I believe there's answers for all of us here.
Yes.
The importance of love. And a lot of things we're believing, you know, if we just walked in love, things would go our way. But notice this. In 1 Peter chapter 3, he's talking about husbands and wives and family issues and so forth. But notice this in verse 7. Likewise, you wives, Likewise, your husband, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as a weaker vessel, as being heirs together of grace of life. Notice this, lest your prayers be hindered. So here he's talking to husbands. And here it says, if you don't treat your wife right, you know, not give them honor. How many know that's a violation of the love walk? Notice what it says, that will pollute your prayers.
Yes, right.
Why is that? Faith worketh by love. Can you see the importance?
Yes.
You know, thank God for faith principles of saying and claiming and so forth. But you can do that until you're blue in the face if you're not treating people right, if you're not treating your spouse right. And you know what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And so, you know, I've been in ministry 40 years, but my ministry is only as good as my marriage. How many know familiarity can breed contempt, being around people, we can treat people casually. You all know this, when you're dating, you're on your best behavior. After you're married 6 years, you treat each other differently. You ought not be.
Right.
Yeah, and so this is what we're talking about, giving honor to one another. So notice, again, the importance of love walk. This is so good, why don't we just read on? Well, you say, well, I'm not married, so it doesn't apply to me. Well, let's just see if the Bible has your number too. Let's see. The very next verse, finally, be of all one mind. I wish I could teach on this. How can we be all one mind? Many doctrines, many ways of thinking. You know, he tells us what kind of mind he's talking about, having compassion or love one to another. So he's talking about all of us. Finally, be ye all. That's all of us. Be of compassion one another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful and courteous, being nice and sweet and kind to people. Not just, you know, your close relative, everybody. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing thereunto you are called to inherit a blessing. Notice this, for he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips speak no guile. Let him skew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. The face of the Lord is against them to do evil. Now, what's very interesting, God tells us, do you want to have a good life? That's what it says. Who would love life? And so God is saying, do you want to have a good life? Do you want to have a good life? I want to have a good life. And see good days. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about the quality of your life and the quantity of your life, the length of your days. It's not a good life being sickly, being in pain, being financial ruin, being in strife and division and so forth. And here it tells you the key. He would love life and see good days. And notice he doesn't say anything about faith. No, he doesn't say. What does he talk about? The love walk.
Yes.
It says if you want a good life, if you want to live long, you want to be healthy and strong, you want to be blessed of the Lord. He didn't say, now claim it over and over again. Now, don't get me wrong. Faith receives. You know, he didn't say pray and pray and pray more, you know, believe more and so forth. You know, he says, you know, your love walk.
Yes.
Don't, when people speak against you, don't speak against them.
Right.
When people do bad things to you, don't be overcome with evil. Overcome evil with good. Do good things to them. And so, here we see faith works by love. And I can give you illustrations after illustrations of people. They needed healing or they needed a breakthrough that once they got a little heart adjustments, they had ill will towards their brother, neighbor, they were talking. Once they got that cleared up, instantly they were well. I'll just tell you one, and I love this one. There's a certain woman that went to a healing meeting, and in the evening they were laying on hands for the sick, but in the morning there's teachings on faith and healing, and the minister would teach the group of people, hear as much teach as you can, because faith comes by hearing. Build up your faith before you have hands laid on you. But if you have to only be here for a day, then get in the teaching and have hands laid on you. Well, this certain woman actually came to the meeting for the whole week and was in the teaching, and she was going to wait till the last night, Friday night, to have hands laid on her. And so she was in all the meetings, morning, evening. But that Friday morning, the ministry began to teach along this line: faith works by love, you know, where Jesus said, you know, your prayers will work, your speaking will work, but you got to forgive. You can't have ill will, animosity towards anyone. And as she was preaching, this minister was preaching, she sat there and kind of hung her head. Because 25 years prior to this time, she had a spat with her brother over some inheritance and so forth, and hadn't spoken to her brother in 25 years. Imagine that. You know, you don't want me to meddle about this. There are people that get upset and won't talk to someone. You know, you may feel justified, but it's going to pollute your fuel tank. And so she was in need of healing and so forth. And as the minister preached, she realized, you know what? Before I have hands laid on me, before I get in the meeting, I got to make it right to my brother. Now, this was many, many years ago. And so she called the operator. I know you could Google search. You can find out anything on your phone. But back then, you had to go to operator to find things and find people out. And with the help of the operator, located her brother and got her brother on the phone. And she made it right. She repented. And he repented, and they both repented, both took responsibility, and they were good with one another. And she just felt so good. How many know it's so good when you're right on the inside? And, you know, she got off the phone and realized, you know, there's a meeting time. You know what? I'm going to take a nap, and tonight I'm going to have hands laid on me, and I'll be healed. You know what happened? She took a nap, and when she woke from nap, she was perfectly healed. And she checked all her symptoms. She had like two or three things she needed healing for. She was so looking forward to have hands laid on her. She was looking for some type of issue and couldn't find it. So what I'm talking about, faith works by love. And so if our love is correct and in line, our faith will work. So, and we just have a little bit of time together. And let's hit the ground running. Let's just see what the Bible has to say about love. Just how do we walk in love? You know, because sometimes we just think, I am the love standard. You know, I look at me. No, Jesus said this, that you love one another as I have loved you. Not our standard, his standard. Now, real quick in our time together, hopefully you're seeing the importance of love. I refuse to have least bit of ill will animosity towards anybody. You husbands and wives, got quiet in this Presbyterian convention. You ever get in time of intense fellowship? How you handle it determine if you got a polluted tank or not. Some people slam doors, won't talk to each other for days. I wouldn't do that. Because your prayers will be hindered. You know, I can go about 5 minutes. I don't know about you. You know, bless God, that woman you gave me. And as long as I'm irked at her, I have no fellowship with him. And I can't be but 5 minutes without him. I can go about 5 minutes, you know, justifying my carnality. Now, I know you are more spiritual and you never have issues along this line. And know this, God never takes your side when you're angry. When you complain about your spouse, God's going to take your side. God, if you'll listen, God will deal with your heart that you're responding wrong.
Amen. Good.
Your love's got to be right. And even your husband, you can be pretty hard-headed and pig-headed. If you'll get quiet before the Lord, he'll tell you that you're wrong. And you know what you got to do when you're wrong? Yes, this is hard. He says, honey, I'm sorry. It's my fault. When was the last time you did that? Oh, it's getting quiet. Let me help you. When Nancy, that's my wife, when we were courting, before we were married, I took her out to a restaurant, and she sat across a booth, and I grabbed her hands. I think we were engaged at the time. That's the only reason I would hold her hands. And I looked in her beautiful brown eyes, and I said this to her, "Honey, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me?" And so she was taken back. And she thought for a moment and said, "But Michael, you did nothing wrong." I said, "I know." I said, "I'm just practicing when we're married." Yeah. See, realize that's what the Holy Ghost is saying, 39 years. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm attacked, and you know, being stupid, you get attacked. You know, if I eat too much sugar, then my head gets congested and runny. You know, then I got to repent and believe God. But overall, you know, I go years without even knowing I have a body. You know, I just, you know, other people get sick and so forth. You know, the Bible says it'll not come nigh you. And people say, "Oh, you must have great faith. You must meditate on faith scripture." No, I endeavor to walk in love. I endeavor to, on the inside, make sure I'm clean with people. Now, notice this, Matthew 5:43. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. "You have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." That's just like us. We love the lovable, and it's the problem people we have problems with. And so Jesus knew that. And so he tells us the solution to this. "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them to despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be children of your Father which is in heaven, who maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. If you love them that which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same thing, the lost people." You're no difference than a lost person if you only love nice people and you're irked and you're mad at people that hurt you and do you wrong. He says that's what the world does. "If you salute your brethren," if you're only nice to the people you love more than you others, do not even lost people do that. In verse 48, "But be perfect and mature even as your Father's perfect in heaven." All right. So many things here. Walking in love is easy towards lovable people. That's what Jesus is saying. Your friends, you know, people in church, your pastors, and the you know, the people that are nice and kind and very conscious not to say anything or do anything to hurt you. And Jesus said, that's good and fine, but that's if that's the extent of your love walk, there's no difference than you than someone who's lost. The true test, the true litmus test of where your love level is how do you use it on your enemies? Now, "Oh, I don't have any enemy." What he's talking about, people that hurt you, that's your enemy. People that give you a hard time, people whose personality rubs you wrong, people who knows how to push your buttons, pull your levers. Y'all have one in those lives. Hopefully you're not married to them, but y'all have one in your life. Maybe your boss, and maybe a brother, a sister, you know, and so forth. But in the world, there are unlovable, you know, it's funny with Christians in the realm of politics. You know, if folks get political, I turn them off. Because there's so much hatred spewed, you know, and you don't even want to get me on that. Last I remember, Jesus loved the whole world, not just Israel. Last I remember, Jesus loved the whole world, not just the Republicans, conservatives. You know, people are so, that's why their faith don't work. That's why they get sick. They're in these battles and fighting and you got to get your heart clean. And Jesus said the litmus test is not for your political party or your side, your friends. Your love walk is determined by your enemies. People, you know, when you're in a time of intense fellowship with your spouse or loved one, it's what you do during that intense fellowship, your faith level, your love level. And he says this, that you're supposed to love your enemies. Love. Whether you're Palestine, Israel, whether Democrat, Republican, whether you're this, that, You know, love. Love your enemies. That's the true test of Christianity. It's how you love people.
Sure.
Yeah. Amen. You know, if we just left it at that, we would say, well, yeah, I love people. But he gives us a three-step program. First of all, he says, people that give you a hard time or you don't agree with, number one, this is how you love them. You bless them. You bless them. Means they say something bad about you, you don't repeat that. He would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. His lips speak no guile. You bless them. When you're in time of intense fellowship with spouse, what do you say? You know, this, you, that. Well, you got poison in your tank. No, you bless them. You say, thank God for my wife. Thank God for my husband. Thank God for my kids. Thank God for my boss. Thank God for my pastor. Thank God for my crazy neighbor. Thank God. Someone that pulls in front of you going 5 miles underneath speed limit. Well, it doesn't really matter. It'll pollute your tank. It's the little foxes that spoil the vines. Just keep cleaning on. So thank God for them. Lord, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to exercise my patience. See, this is what I'm talking about, being clean on the inside. You can't be raving at people and telling people off and say, you need to vote this, and you need to do this, and you guys are all wrong. And people call that boldness. That's called arrogance. Yeah. You bless people. And so next time someone says something wrong or does you wrong, make sure something good comes out of your mouth. Why? Faith works by love. Number two, Jesus said, now he's not only to say good stuff to the people that rub you wrong, you do good stuff. Do good to them. Yeah. See, you're ticked at your husband. Did Jesus say slam doors and run out and give them the silent treatment? No. No. Because that'll pollute your tank. It'll hinder your prayers. Yeah. Get mad at your boss? No. You have someone at work that done you wrong to make you look bad? Do good to them. Buy them something. You know, I give gifts all the time. So I don't know if it's because they truly love me or they're blessing their enemies. And so either way, I'm a blessed man. Yeah. See, it'll clean your tank. Rather than being resentful and just pollute yourself on inside, it poison your inside, you speak well of your enemies. You only do good, even if they're mistreating you. And three, Jesus said to pray for them. To pray. Not, Lord, smite them. Lord, open their eyes. They're making my life a mess. No. You do realize that the people that are giving you trouble in your life are not the problem. It's how you respond to them.
Yes, right.
But you don't know what they've done to me. No, I don't. But if you would not see good days and live long, you keep clean. See, harboring resentment and speaking bad, posting and spreading rumors and all that stuff, it's like drinking poison expecting someone else to die.
That's right. Sure.
But keep your tank clean. Yeah. Are you getting anything this morning? Yeah. Glory to God. And Jesus said this. Lost people are great with good people and hate the enemies in life. He says, but my followers, they love everybody. Whenever someone does them wrong, that's an opportunity to shower love on them, to bless them, to pray for them, to speak well of them. And notice he said this, that you may be perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. God wants you to love as he does. And he gives this beautiful example. God, when he sends rain, rains on the just and unjust. When the rain comes to water the crops and the grass is hoarse, God isn't up there and says, oh, I'm only going to rain on good people. And you're a heathen. I'm not going to rain on you. And you're not living right, you know. And only God doesn't send rain just on the good people. He sends rain on the just and unjust. And when the sun shines, guess what? We all get to enjoy that. And God says, that's how my goodness is. That's how I treat people. And what God is saying is I treat people good and I bless them because who I am, not how they treat me. He says, if you want to be perfect in love as I'm perfect in love, you don't treat people differently because they mistreat you. You treat everybody with love, respect, and honor. You speak good to them, regardless of that, your political party. They don't see things as you do. You are good to everybody, and then you're perfect in love, and your faith will work.
Amen.
Yeah. Good. Aren't you glad you came?
Yes.
I'm fixing to close. For those of you who are visiting, please come back when Pastor Tim is here. You'll be much more blessed. Let's close it up. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. A very simple pastoral message. Faith works by love. Keep your tank clean. Jesus warned. And we saw the scriptures, if you don't honor people, your prayers will be hindered. In 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, I would read in King James, but I'd like to read in Amplified. And this is God's definition of love. And this the Amplified Bible says this, make this your great aim. You know, I meditate on love scriptures. Right along with healing scriptures, strength scriptures, by meditating on love scriptures. Now it says, the love endures long, is patient and kind. Love is never envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. It is not rude or unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. God's love in us does not insist in its own rights and its own ways. It is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. Takes no account of evil done to it, pays no attention to suffered wrong. It does not rejoice in injustice or in righteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. It bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. You know, we can just drop the mic, boom. My spiritual father, Kenneth Hagin, says if you're having trouble in your marriage, read this before you go to bed and first thing you wake up, endeavor to walk in them. And everybody ought to take love seriously.
Yes.
And make it, that, as the Amplified says, the aim and pursuit of their life is to be more Christ-like. You read in 1 John that the more you walk in love, the more you have a revelation of God, the more you can walk with God. But any man that hates his brother is in darkness and doesn't have fellowship with God. Love is light. Light is love, and light is intimacy with God and walks in the ways of God. But hatred, ill will, resentment, being irked, being hurt and upset of people, the Bible says that's darkness and they don't know where you're going. And so we want to walk in the light. Now, this, it would do you well to meditate on these scriptures, the Amplified, and say it to yourself, where it says love says, I am patient, I am kind. And again, remember, the litmus test is not how well you do with on your friends and the ones you love. Jesus said the litmus test is those that are your enemies, those that give you a hard time, those who are on the opposite spectrum of your political party. This is your litmus test. Now, let me quickly, fix and close, I'm going to give you the three main ones that I meditate all the time. These are my goal in life. And they bless me and serve me. And it's a litmus test of my walk with God and my walk towards others. Number one is found in verse 5. God's love in us does not insist in its own rights and its own ways. It's not self-seeking. So I meditate on that. Many marriages have been ruined by selfishness. The more selfish you are as a person, the more miserable you are. The more selfless, the more freedom, the more liberty. Because too many times we get hurt, we get irked, we get offended. And really the root reason is we're selfish. We're concerned about self and me. You don't know what they said to me, you know, that hurt me. You got to understand this. I hope I can say this without offending anyone. If you get hurt and offended, it's just an indicator your love level is not where it should be. Okay. Yeah. See? And so to purpose in life, I remember Kenneth Hagin when the first time I heard him, and I was raised Catholic, and I didn't have really good teaching, and he said something that rocked my world. He said this, that he was about to celebrate 50 years of marriage, and he says, "I'm more in love with my wife now than when we were first married." And that just blew me away at 19 years old. Because most people I knew were enduring their marriages, not enjoying them. Just the lack of light and love. And he said, "You want to know our secret?" I was all ears. He said this, "Outdo one another in love." Yeah. Instead of fighting, fussing, getting your way, what I want to do, he says, fight to get the other person's way. Now, if we were just starting, we could meddle there and it'd be fun. But to judge yourself, how selfish are you? And whenever you're in disagreement, ask you, am I being selfish? Is it because I'm not getting my way? Yeah. Praise the Lord. This is going over very well. Thank you. I better maybe try the next one. Maybe the next one will have more of a bite. It's also found in verse 5. Love takes no account of an evil done to it. It pays no attention to suffered wrong. This is probably the greatest test of where our love walk is. It says, when I walk in love, I take no account. If you do something evil towards me, I take no account of it. If you're speaking, you're spreading lies, or you've done something to irk or hurt me, I pay no attention to it. If every marriage would operate in that, if every church, employment, how many people offended, hurt, or upset, when they get hurt, offended, upset, you know what they're telling the world? I don't walk in love. I'm selfish. I'm prideful. No. Love pays no attention. Yeah. Pays no attention. I don't know about you. I can use a little growth in this area. How about you? But you don't know what... You don't know what they said, what they done. No, I don't. But the only person that had the right to be the judge, a jury, anyone was the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who walked perfectly and only did good and lived a selfless life. And on that cross, he hung there. And of course, when they spit and he's up there unjustly, you know what he said? He says, "God, D-U. All of you can go to WH hockey stick, double hockey sticks." No. Father, forgive them. You see, when you walk in love, people's hurts and offenses is like water on a duck's back.
Yeah. That's good.
Amen. When you don't walk in love, you're like a wet chicken.
Yeah.
I grew up on a farm. And the most sorrowful thing you ever did see was a wet chicken. You know, when and you know, and the ducks, they're just woo, waddle, waddle. See, love always wins. Always wins. They try to push your buttons, say this. Love doesn't partake of gossip, of people's secret slanders, and oh, they did that. You know, love doesn't mess. Love keeps its tank pure. So important. So pay no attention. You know, and I wish I had time. Jesus told the parable of someone who owed his master like $20 million, had nothing to pay, and his Lord forgave him. You're probably familiar. I can give you a reference of that. It's in, I believe, in Matthew chapter 18. And his Lord forgave him. Being released of a $20 million debt. And you know what he does? He goes to his fellow servant, and he does this. Pay me what you owe us. And it was like 20 bucks. And he asked for mercy, and wouldn't give mercy. And he got back to the ears of his Lord, and the Lord was not pleased. And what he's telling, we had a debt we could not pay. And Jesus forgave us. We deserve hell. We deserve damnation. We deserve the curse. Jesus forgave us and blessed us. More than $20 million debt. And the little things we have with our brothers and sisters, our differences of opinions, that we just can't. Someone needs to write a song. Let it go. Let it go. Yeah. Yeah. That's why love pays no attention. Amen. I'm a free man. Yeah. I've been forgiven $20 million. Your $20 offense, your $5 words against me doesn't compare. Right. I got it good. I'm grace. I'm blessed. I'm not paying attention to that. I'm not even thinking about that or rehearsing that.
That's good.
Yeah. Oh, my time's gone. Let me at least give you the third thing. The third thing, and actually it's not in verse 5, it's verse 7. All of them are good. So love is not selfish. Love pays no attention to offenses and hurts. Verse 7 says, love is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Wow, that'll clean your carburetor. Now, I know, what's a carburetor? Ask your grandpa. To believe the best. You know, if so-and-so says something about you, oh, he probably didn't mean it. We tend to think the worst. And we tend to rehearse and rehearse and rehearse. You know what you think affects your fuel.
Yes.
I remember William Branham, who was greatly used during healing revival. An angel appeared to him and he was used mightily in the healing revival. And the angel said this to him. The thoughts of men speak louder in heaven than their words do on earth. You know, how many people can't see your thoughts, but heaven can. And how does love think? Love thinks the best. Love is not judge and jury. Love is not resentful, rehearsing the ill and being all worked up and being polluted in your system. Love thinks the best. You know, you walk in love, you just have a smile all the time. People pull in front of you, you just have a smile. When you're shopping and you're ready to go and express out and someone runs in front of you with a big cart, I've had that happen. You just smile. You're just happy all the time.
All right.
You're not worked up and just you know, angry and upset. That's love.
Yeah.
Imagine every husband and wife had this kind of love. Every church member. There'd be no division, no strife. Oh, pastor didn't shake my hand. I'm leaving. Grow up.
Yeah. Come on.
Whenever you're hurt and offended like that, you are showing the world, I'm not walking with Jesus. I'm living after flesh. I am selfish. I'm prideful. You know, I don't walk in love and I just expose it to the world. Yeah. 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 So I don't know where that came from, but it's good anyway.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, I preach myself happy. I leave this for those of you visiting. Please come back next week. But do you get it? Faith works by love. you work on your love, make sure you clean on the inside in your heart, your faith will work. Pastor Brad, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Amen. We're going to get ready to take up a love offering here, but maybe you are here visiting, and I'll tell you the greatest testimony of love is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, God loved every one of us so much that he gave Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I know that, you know, there are people here that you're visiting, but maybe you hear a message like this and you're like, man, that love of God, man, I really need to know this. I really need to experience this. I know a love or an upbringing that didn't reflect God's love, and haven't even experienced this love. Well, maybe you need to know what the first step is with God. That's simply by asking him to be your Lord and Savior. So I'm just going to have all of us just bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's just go in an attitude of prayer. And I'm going to give us an opportunity. Maybe you've listened to Pastor Michael and you've never truly experienced the love of God, so you don't even adequately know how to walk in God's love. Well, I'm telling you, you can be saved. You can be born again. Your destiny can be changed. Well, how do I do that? Well, it's very simple. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's by simply confessing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you've never done that today, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. All heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'll tell you, all I'm going to have you do simply is raise your hand. As soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to make you come forward. But if you're here today and you need to accept Jesus as your Lord, can I just see your hand? I'll have you put it right back down. I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else that needs to pray to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior? That if today was your last day on earth, that you know that you would be born again and you'd be going to heaven. Are there any other hands here today that you need to accept Jesus as your Lord? Praise the Lord. I did see a hand. And so I'm going to have us all pray as a congregation. And that individual that raised their hand, just speak these words out of your mouth sincerely. I'm going to pray. You're going to pray along with me. And just be sincere with the Lord and you will be born again. Everyone just go ahead, repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died on a cross and rose again so I can be saved. I accept you now as my Lord and Savior. Wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Heaven's rejoicing right now that a sinner turned to be a saint. Glory to God. And thank you, Pastor Michael, for such... We got our assignment till Jesus comes. We're busy now. Amen. And we all have not arrived on that. We're going to take up a love offering to bless Pastor Michael. If you are going to write a check for that offering, you can just make it out to the church and we'll see to it that Pastor Michael gets that. But I love over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul is talking to the Corinthian church about the giving of the Macedonians. And he says in verse 2 how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They did this not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desire Titus that he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything, listen to what he says, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. He's talking about giving. So this is what he goes on to say in verse 8. I speak not by commandment. He's saying, I'm not dictating you in this. I'm not commanding you to do anything. But by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. Wait a second. We're talking about throwing money in a bucket here. That's what you thought. He's saying, reciprocate the grace that is on these people's lives. Why? Because it's showing the sincerity of their love. How many know that we can express our love through our giving? That we can put our heart on the line to say, hey, I'm giving because I'm here to love. It's not about the exchanging of dollars and cents and putting money. It's an expression to show the sincerity of our heart's love. And so that's what we want to do here with Pastor Michael. Ushers, if you'll come forward. Father, we thank you for an opportunity. We thank you and we know it's right that, Father, when we're ministered to, it's right to give unto those that teach. That, Father, we know also that every time we have an opportunity to come before you, to give into an offering, that we have an opportunity to express the love that is on the inside of us, to test the sincerity of it. And so, Father, we thank you for this opportunity. And we know that as we sow seed into good ground, that harvest is imminent. And so, Father, we give you the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Ushers, you can serve the people. Pastor Michael, thank you so much. Absolutely love the Word of God. How many know that, hey, we're going to be busy now? How many got help here today? The Word is good. Amen. We got our assignment. Praise the Lord. And as the offering buckets do go by, we're going to take a moment to stand up and love on the Lord before we dismiss. Why don't we go ahead and do that? If you'll stand with me to your feet, let's just love on Him for a moment. Father, we just bless you. We praise you. We thank you. Father, we leave changed here today. We leave going and being doers of your word, that Father, we can walk in the fullness of your love. And Father, we thank you for your great love by which you loved us. And so, Father, we give you the praise for everything said and everything done. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone said, amen. Glory to God. You are dismissed.